Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, November 30th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
global stocks slide as warnings on the Omicron variant grow louder.
We hear from the heads of Moderna and Pfizer as plans for a new vaccine take shape.
Testimony from Jay Powell and Janet Yellen takes on new significance as the two head to Capitol Hill today.
And talks on state and local tax deductions hit a snag in the Senate.
New York Governor Hochul urges indoor mask wearing with the Omicron COVID variant. Plus, witness testimony began in the sex trafficking trial of Ghislaine Maxwell. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
John Stash, Aaron Swartz, another stunning coaching move in college football, and Max Scherzer is now a high-paid member of the Mets.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Broadcasting. And good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by SEI. Today's competitive marketplace requires asset managers to become more operationally adept. See how you can transform your business with SEI's global platform at seic.com/IMS.
And global stocks are falling hard this morning, 5:01 on Wall Street. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 48 points, Dow futures down 458, and NASDAQ futures down 72. The DAX in Germany is down 1.2%. 10-year Treasury up 21 32nds, yield 1.42%. Yield on the two-year, 0.46%. And NYMEX crude oil is down 2.3%. Nathan.
Karen, warnings on the Omicron variant are getting louder this morning, and new vaccines could be in the offing. Moderna says several mutations in this strain could help it evade current shots. We spoke with Moderna co-founder Noubar Afeyan.
This threat is something that we have not seen before. The number of variations, mutations on this virus are surprising. They're not theoretically impossible, but extremely rare. And so we have to take it for the serious threat that it poses.
Moderna co-founder Noubar Afeyan spoke with Bloomberg's Emily Chang and echoed comments made by CEO Stefan Bonsell to the Financial Times overnight. They both say a new vaccine could be ready early next year.
Well, Nathan, Pfizer is laying out a similar timeline if the Omicron variant is able to elude its current shot. CEO Albert Bourla says a new vaccine could be ready by March.
We have already last Friday started the process of developing a tailor-made vaccine. But not only we have very high level of confidence that we will have it ready within 100 days, but we have very high level of confidence that we can manufacture it by billions, if needed.
Pfizer CEO Albert Bourla spoke with Bloomberg's David Westin. He says we should know in 2 to 3 weeks whether current vaccines hold up against the Omicron variant.
Well, as the frenzy over this new strain takes off, Karen, President Biden is urging a level-headed approach.
This variant is a cause for concern, not a cause for panic.
The president says current vaccines are still the best protection against COVID-19, and he does not believe new shots will be necessary. Still, he is working with Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson on contingency plans.
In the event, hopefully unlikely, that updated vaccinations or boosters are needed to respond to this new variant, we will accelerate their development and deployment with every available tool.
President Biden says he will not order new lockdowns or shutdowns in response to the Omicron variant.
Meantime, Nathan, the CDC is now recommending booster shots for all people 18 and older. Previous guidance said adults may get the shot. Now the agency says they should. The head of the CDC says the new variant further emphasizes the importance of vaccines.
Let's turn to Capitol Hill now, Karen, where testimony from Janet Yellen and Jay Powell takes on new importance in the face of the Omicron variant. The Treasury Secretary and Fed Chair answer questions from the Senate Banking Committee today starting at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. We'll bring it to you live on Bloomberg Radio. But first, let's get a preview from Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice.
The advertised topic for today's Senate Banking Committee hearing is pandemic relief. Advanced Dexter Powell's testimony hits on a newly identified Omicron variant, with the Fed chair saying it poses risks to both sides of the central bank's mandate, stable prices and maximum employment. Powell says worries about the variant could try workers' willingness to go to job sites, slowing the labor market recovery and aggravating supply chain problems. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Penny, thank you. We're also learning more about when Chair Powell will be back on Capitol Hill yet again. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with that story. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Karen. It looks like hearings on Powell's renomination as Fed chair could happen as soon as next month. The Senate Banking Committee Chairman Sherrod Brown wants to expedite confirmation of Jay Powell and Leo Brainard as chair and vice chair of the Fed. Brown says he's confident both nominees will be confirmed by the split Senate. When it comes to other openings at the Fed, the White House plans to announce picks for the vice chair for supervision at two open governor seats in early December. In New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Taxes are also front and center in Washington as talks on state and local deductions appear to be faltering. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports the setback centers on a well-known senator from Vermont.
Senator Bernie Sanders front and center. Now, Senator Bob Menendez is saying that Sanders has, quote, walked away from a previously agreed-to plan that has had the deduction be revenue neutral over the 10-year budget window. Sanders now is saying he wants the reworked SALT deduction to actually raise revenue. The cap currently is $10,000, and the dance now is Sanders wanting more revenue, Republicans wanting the cap raised to as much as $550,000 at least. The House passed bill has it at $80,000. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And thank you. It looks like another key senator is also throwing a wrench in Democrats' plans. This time, it's President Biden's economic agenda at risk. Joe Manchin says he won't commit to passing the president's tax and spending plan by year's end. The West Virginia senator remains opposed to the paid family leave provision in the version of the bill passed by the House.
Of course, this is the Tuesday after Thanksgiving, Karen, and that means Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and all the days in between are in the books. Looks like yesterday's activity fell flat. As of last night, Cyber Monday sales trailed last year by more than $3.5 billion. That's according to data from Adobe, which points to shoppers making purchases earlier in the season. Supply chain concerns seem to be the reason behind the shift. Scarce inventory also makes discounts and deals harder to find this year. S&P futures are lower by 49 points now. Dow futures down 467 and NASDAQ futures down 76. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's 5:07 on Wall Street. We're right at the freezing mark in Central Park, 32 degrees, and already dealing with a crash on the northbound FDR Drive near 79th. Michael Barr is here with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York Governor Kathy Hochul says starting Friday, elective procedures in the state at short-staffed hospitals will cease. It's in part because of the new COVID variant. Hochul says they will reassess it again January 15th.
We knew this winter spike could happen. And so we are correct. The spike is occurring.
Hochul spoke during her COVID briefing yesterday.
Watch your symptoms closely. Stay in touch with your family members. Make sure you know what everybody's up to, because if there is going to be a surge in hospitalizations, which we'd be naive to think there won't be, that would occur about 10 days from now. So that's what we're watching for as well.
The governor and New York City's health commissioner are urging people to wear masks indoors for public settings as scientists work to learn more about the Omicron variant. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy is relaying the same mask-up message.
The reality is that as our region is a hub of international travel and commerce, we must be ready now in anticipation of this variant hitting us.
And Murphy says the Delta variant is still a nightmare for New Jersey.
We're still registering well more than 1,000 new confirmed cases a day, and our hospitalizations are up sharply over the past several weeks.
Governor Murphy has advanced medical surveillance put in place in South Africa to detect the spread of HIV, is now praised for the early detection of Omicron. Jurors started hearing witness testimony in the sex trafficking trial of Ghislaine Maxwell. The British socialite is accused of recruiting and grooming underage girls for sex with the late Jeffrey Epstein. Republican Congresswoman Lauren Boebert has spoken by phone with Congresswoman Ilhan Omar just days after likening the Minnesota Democrat to a bomb-carrying terrorist. The call didn't go well. Omar ended the call after Boebert of Colorado refused to issue a public apology. CNN host Chris Cuomo used his position as a journalist to gather information about upcoming accusations of sexual harassment against his brother, former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. That's according to new documents released by the New York Attorney General's office. CNN said in a statement it will review Chris's actions over the next several days. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. Almost 5:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stanshire.
Good morning, Nathan. Mets fans were excited when Steve Cohen bought the team. The expectation that Cohen's deep pockets would lead to the kind of free agent spending spree we are seeing now. After a weekend where the Mets shelled out $125 million for three position players, they reeled in the biggest catch. Future Hall of Famer Max Scherzer for 3 years, $130 million, so a record-breaking $43 million a year for a pitcher who's 37 but has so far shown no signs of slippage. Scherzer last season with Washington and the Dodgers had 236 strikeouts, only 36 walks. He joins Jacob DeGrom, the 1-2 in the Mets rotation, have won 5 Cy Young Awards. Yankees were expected to pursue free agent shortstop Corey Seager, but he signed with Texas 10 years, $325 million, the day after they signed Marcus Semien for $175 million. Put them together, Rangers have guaranteed $500 million to two middle infielders. Knicks and Nets tonight in Brooklyn. Knicks doing with Kemba Walker what the Nets are doing with Blake Griffin. 10 All-Star games between them and both now out of their team's rotation. Monday Night Football, Washington tops Seattle 17-15. Tiger Woods spoke with Golf Digest about his golfing future.
I think something that is realistic is playing the tour one day, never full-time ever again. Pick and choose, just like what Mr. Hogan did. You pick and choose a few events a year, and you play around that. You practice around it, and you try and gear yourself up for that, and you play. I think that's kind of how I'm going to have to play from now on.
You reference Van Hogen, who was in a serious car accident in 1949, like Woods was in last February. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thank you. Right now, S&P futures are down 51 points. Dow futures down 482. NASDAQ futures lower by 82 points. The 10-year Treasury up 24 30 seconds. The yield now 1.41%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. Maybe an isolated afternoon snow shower today with a high in the low 40s. Upper 40s tomorrow with overnight showers possible. We'll have afternoon clearing Thursday and low 50s. Currently 32 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and markets are back in risk-off mode with futures falling. S&P futures down 51 points, Dow futures down 489, NASDAQ futures down 84. The DAX in Germany is down 1.5%. 10-year Treasury up 23 30 seconds, yield 1.41%, and the yield on the 2-year, 0.46%. NYMEX crude oil is down 2.5% on $1.75 at $68.20 a barrel. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Japan and France confirmed their first cases of the new variant of the coronavirus today. Countries around the world are scrambling to find ways to limit its spread while scientists study the variant in its entirety. The World Health Organization says the global risk from the Omicron variant is very high based on early evidence. In the 2021 Atlantic hurricane season, it's coming to an official end today. The season saw 21 named hurricanes and tropical storms. In the NFL, Washington outlasted the Seahawks 17-15. In the NBA, the Wizards lost. In baseball, meet the Mets. There's word that Max Scherzer has agreed to a $130 million 3-year contract with the Amazings. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
An amazing payday, that's for sure. Thank you, Michael. It's 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. I'm Nathan Hager. Concern over the Omicron variant of COVID-19 continues to spread, and questions are being raised now about the effectiveness of current vaccines against this new strain. Now we're hearing directly from the vaccine makers. Moderna says several mutations in the Omicron variant could potentially evade its current shot. Bloomberg's Emily Chang got the details from Moderna co-founder Noubar Afeyan. Let's hear what he had to say.
I definitely think that this threat is something that we have not seen before. The number of variations, mutations on this virus are surprising. They're not theoretically impossible, but extremely rare. And so we have to take it for the serious threat that it poses. Now, we have a lot better weapons to fight back against it than we did 18 months ago. But that I think that, again, worrying, we always should be worried when we're under attack. I think it's what we do about it that matters.
What's the fastest possible timeline that an Omicron, a Moderna Omicron booster could be available?
Availability to the public is a function of regulatory approval under emergency use, and that will be largely determined by the FDA, which I'm sure will look at the data, the facts on the ground, the level of threat, and decide how much additional data it needs for this sequence variant to be able to allow it to be more broadly available. I can't speculate on that. I think the piece of it that we control, we've said, Stefan Bancel, the CEO, said, we think we're in a position to do, based on the 10 years of platform development we've done already with mRNA and mRNA vaccines, I think we're in an ideal position to respond within the kind of 60-day timeframe.
That's Moderna co-founder Noubar Afeyan speaking with Bloomberg's Emily Chang about the Omicron variant. Now let's get the view from Pfizer. CEO Albert Bourla sat down for an interview with Bloomberg's David Westin. They discussed concerns about Omicron evading Pfizer's vaccine and the effectiveness of the company's COVID pill when it comes to this new strain. Let's listen in.
I think there are a few things that are not very clear yet with Omicron. One, it is the clinical manifestation of this new variant. Is it creating more severe disease or not? Is it transmitted easier or not? Is it going to younger or older people? All of these are things that, as we see clinical cases coming out and the numbers are getting bigger, that's something that we will know in a few weeks. The second is, does this virus, has this variant, has the ability to escape the protection of our vaccine? I think that that's something that we will know in a couple of weeks. And I don't expect in any scenario to be that we don't protect at all. Actually, that's extremely, extremely unlikely. I think it could be anything from the protection remains very high to the protection is reduced. It's not 95, it is 70%, for example. And the third is that we need to know, it is if this virus can escape the antiviral effect of the treatments that we have. We have antibodies, we have the injectables, and now we have an oral pill. Again, the expectations on that, it is that for the oral pill, which is our pill, I don't expect that the virus will escape the antiviral effectiveness. The pill, the molecule, was designed with that in mind. It was designed to be able to maintain efficacy while the virus mutates, and this is why we chosen a mechanism that doesn't depend on the spike and mutations on the spike, but is attacking something that the virus needs to replicate. It's called protease. We are inhibiting a protease which has nothing to do with the spike. And by the way, this protease, the virus needs it. It's very vital. So it's very difficult for the virus to develop a variant that that doesn't need the protease that we are inhibiting. So with all that in mind, I think our pill will work very, very, very well. So we are waiting to see if the virus escapes the protection of our vaccine after a booster dose, which will be very difficult, I think, but we need to check it. We have already last Friday started the process of developing a tailor-made vaccine that not only we have very high level of confidence that we will have it ready within 100 days, but we have very high level of confidence that we can manufacture it by billions if needed.
And that's Pfizer CEO Albert Bourla weighing in on concerns over the new Omicron variant of COVID-19. You can catch that full interview with Bloomberg's David Westin, plus the conversation with Moderna co-founder Noubar Afeyan online at Bloomberg.com. Concerns over Omicron are certainly taking hold in markets this morning. It is risk off with S&P futures down 55 points now, Dow futures down 510 points, NASDAQ futures lower by 100 points. The 10-year Treasury is up 22.30 seconds with the yield 1.42% yield on the 2-year, 0.46%. And NYMEX crude is down 2.6% at $68.10 a barrel. Stay with us. We're going to get more on the market reaction to these new warnings about Omicron and how the new strain could factor into today's testimony on Capitol Hill with Fed Chair Jay Powell and Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen. That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 1130 weather, increasing clouds, maybe an isolated afternoon snow shower, or low 40s. Clouds return tomorrow. Overnight showers possible. Upper 40s will be in the low 50s with clearing by Thursday. Currently, 32 degrees.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Global stocks are falling as warnings on the Omicron variant get louder. Moderna says several mutations in this strain could help it evade the current vaccine. We spoke with Moderna co-founder Noubara Fayan.
The number of variations, mutations on this virus are surprising. And so we have to take it for the serious threat that it poses.
Moderna co-founder Noubara Fayan spoke with Bloomberg's Emily Chang, echoing comments that CEO Stefan Bancel made to the Financial Times overnight.
Yeah, Fayan says Moderna could have a new vaccine ready early next year. So does Pfizer. CEO Albert Bourla says his company could have a new shot ready by March.
We have very high level of confidence that we will have it ready within 100 days. We have very high level of confidence that we can manufacture it by billions, if needed.
Pfizer CEO Albert Bourla spoke with Bloomberg's David Westin. He says we should know in 2 to 3 weeks whether current vaccines hold up against the Omicron variant.
On Capitol Hill today, Nathan, testimony from Janet Yellen and Jay Powell takes on new meeting in the face of the Omicron variant. Powell is warning about the new strain, saying it poses a risk to the economy and adds uncertainty over inflation. The Treasury Secretary and Fed Chair answers questions from the Senate Banking Committee starting at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, and we'll bring it to you live on Bloomberg Radio.
Right. Powell faces the Senate today and the House tomorrow. After that, he could be back on Capitol Hill again in a few weeks. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live to explain. John?
And Nathan, it looks like the Senate is moving up the timeline of the confirmation hearing for Jay Powell and Leo Brainard. The Senate Banking Committee Chairman Sherrod Brown wants to move quickly on the matter. Brown says he'll comply with a rule that confirmation hearings come at least 2 weeks after the White House sends the Senate paperwork. He's confident that both Powell and Brainard will be confirmed by the full Senate. President Biden also plans to announce a pick for vice chair for supervision and for two other open seats on the Board of Governors in early December. Live in New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, John, thanks. Right now, S&P futures are down 48 points, Dow futures down 457, NASDAQ futures down 78. The DAX in Germany down 1.3%, while the CAC in Paris is down 1.2%. The 10-year Treasury is up 21.32, the yield 1.42%, yield on the 2-year 0.46. NYMEX crude down 2.25% or $1.57 at $68.39 a barrel, and COMEX gold up 0.8% at $17.99.50 an ounce. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. It's now 5:33 on Wall Street. Still 32 degrees in Central Park and not dealing with too many problems on the roads. Just some overnight road work getting picked up so far. Michael Barr is here with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. New York Governor Kathy Hochul said during her COVID briefing yesterday the state is preparing for a surge of cases in hospitals with limited capacity and staff.
Beginning on December 3rd, elective procedures at these short-staff hospitals will cease. And we'll reassess that again January 15th.
Governor Hochul also urged indoor mask wearing. The governor declared a state of emergency Friday. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio says as of now, there are no Omicron cases in the city. The mayor says, though, it is very likely there will be.
Everyone focused together on getting all the facts about Omicron and making decisions based on the data and the science. Now, everyone knows there's still a lot of information we need, and that will take days or even a few weeks to come in. But we're going to be in a very vigilant state in the meantime and taking any and all actions as we get facts to support them.
Mayor de Blasio also said at his media briefing that 88% of New Yorkers have received at least one dose of the vaccine. In New Jersey, Governor Murphy says that labs in the state are ready for what's being called the inevitable discovery of the variant in the U.S.
The team at the Department of Health is prepared to quickly identify Omicron through both PCR testing and virus sequencing processes and protocols in partnership with the CDC.
Governor Phil Murphy says the state is still registering well more than 1,000 new confirmed cases a day. The sex trafficking trial of Ghislaine Maxwell got underway yesterday in New York City. She is accused of recruiting and grooming underage girls for Jeffrey Epstein to abuse. Epstein died in jail in 2019 while awaiting trial on sex abuse charges. Atlanta voters today are deciding a mayoral runoff between City Council President Felicia Moore and fellow council member Andre Dickens. Current Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms is not seeking a second term. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
Thanks, Nathan. Tomorrow night, the almost certain kickoff to the baseball owner lockout, which would put a halt to all free agent signings. That's why we're seeing so many take place now. And no team's been busier than the Mets, who don't have a manager for next season. But last weekend, they added three position players. And yesterday, the grand prize, future Hall of Fame pitcher Max Scherzer is a Met. He has a three-year deal, can opt out after two. He'll make more than $43 million a year. That's way over $1 million per start. Robbie Ray going, as Greg Nettles once said about Sparky Lyle. From Cy Young to sayonara, leaving Toronto for Seattle. Shortstop Corey Seager goes from the Dodgers to Texas. The Yankees want to sign a shortstop. It won't be Seager. Brian Kelly just became the winningest coach in Notre Dame history. Now at age 60, he's leaving for LSU. Notre Dame might be in the college football playoff. It would be without their coach. Knicks brought in New York native Kemba Walker to be the starting point guard. It hasn't worked, especially defensively. The Knicks not only taking Walker out of the starting lineup, not even going to use him off the bench. Knicks visit the Nets tonight. NFL Washington stopped Seattle on a two-point conversion attempt at the end and won 17-15. Tiger Woods spoke with Golf Digest 9 months after his serious car accident.
After my back fusion, I had to prove it to myself. I had to climb Mount Everest one more time. I had to do it. And I did. This time around, I don't think I'll have the body to climb Mount Everest. And that's okay.
45-year-old Woods admits he will never again play full-time on the tour. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
End of an era. Thank you, John. 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
Jersey Mike's plans to raise $500 million in a small corner of U.S. credit markets. Sources tell Bloomberg the company's kicked off early marketing for a $500 million asset-backed security offering. It's supported by franchise and development agreements. Cryptocurrency conglomerate Digital Currency Group and its subsidiaries are leaving New York City. They're relocating to Stamford, Connecticut. DCG is expected to create more than 300 new jobs in its new location over the next 5 years, according to Governor Ned Lamont's office. The New Jersey convenience store market is growing. Farm Stores, with its headquarters and most of its store locations in Florida, is expanding its convenient drive-through franchise to the Northeast. The franchise chain will celebrate its newest location in Newton, the state's third, with a ribbon-cutting ceremony on Saturday. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thanks, Ed. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Drivers are set for a slight relief at the pump as oil's rally cools.
I'm Caroline Hepke on Bloomberg DAB, digital radio in London. We're reporting on whether the Omicron variant undoes the return to office in London, with Bloomberg's Pret Index showing earlier this month sales were back to pre-pandemic levels.
I'm Steve Podolsky, and on 1010 Winds in New York, we're talking about how big tech could see a lot of employee turnover in the next couple of years.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting an analyst says Ford's on pace to sell more electric vehicles in the U.S. than General Motors this year.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. Unsurprisingly, the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict exposed fierce divisions among Americans. On one matter, though, there ought to be renewed consensus. It doesn't help to have guns at protests. Unfortunately, armed demonstrators have become a familiar sight in the U.S. Researchers have documented gun-toting civilians at more than 500 protests over the past 2 years. They also found that demonstrations where participants are armed are nearly 6 times as likely to turn violent or destructive. Absent government intervention, more incidents like what happened in Kenosha are all but inevitable. Authorities need to recognize that protests are an inherently charged environment and do everything in their power to enact common sense reforms before another demonstration becomes yet another site of needless bloodshed. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or O-P-I-N go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at O-P-I-N go. Checking markets once again this morning. It is definitely risk off with S&P futures down 46 points, Dow futures down 440, NASDAQ futures down 71, and the 10-year Treasury up 22 30 seconds, now the yield 1.42%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, increasing clouds, low 40s today, maybe an isolated afternoon snow shower. Some overnight showers possible tomorrow, otherwise clouds, upper 40s. Afternoon clearing Thursday, low 50s.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update's brought to you by SEI. Imagine your asset management firm's operational infrastructure as a competitive advantage. Let SEI show you how at SEIC.com/IMS. And a risk-off mood this morning with futures falling. S&P futures down 52 points. Dow futures down 486. And NASDAQ futures down to 91. The DAX in Germany is down 1.5%. 10-year Treasury up 22 30 seconds, yield 1.42%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.46%. NYMEX crude oil is down 3.6% on $2.55 at $67.40 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.8% or $14.60 at $17.99.80 an ounce. The euro 1.1370 against the dollar, British pound 1.3354. And the yen is at 112.79. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you kindly. Japan and France confirmed their first cases of the new variant of the coronavirus today. It comes as China says it's determined to hold a successful Winter Olympics in roughly 65 days, even after the WHO warned COVID cases may surge due to severe consequences fueled by Omicron. Tiger Woods says his days of being a full-time golfer are over. Woods spoke to Golf Digest in his first major interview since his devastating car crash in February. In the NFL, Washington outlasted the Seahawks 17-15. In the NBA, the Wizards lost. In baseball, there's word Max Scherzer has agreed to a $130 million 3-year contract with the New York Mets. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. It's just about 5:49 on Wall Street now, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and it's not just the markets getting spooked by this new Omicron variant. The new strain is also spreading into the policy agenda in Washington, D.C., and once again, events may be getting in the way of President Biden's plans. For more, we're joined by Joe Matthew, our Washington correspondent and host of Sound on Bloomberg Radio. Joe, good morning. At first, it was inflation that was getting in the way. Now we have this new COVID-19 strain. How toxic a brew is this for the president?
Well, it's a good choice of terms there. It is a toxic brew, and they are connected, right? The idea here, and we'll hear a lot more of this from Jay Powell later on today when he's testifying, and Janet Yellen for that matter, having had a little peek at their prepared remarks, you cannot have one without the other. This economy, one that we've already been worried about overheating with higher prices and people not coming back to work as we had hoped by now, at least in the numbers that we had hoped for, could all be made worse by COVID. It increases the risks of people waiting longer to get back into the workforce, interrupting the supply chain and creating even more inflation. Now, you add another layer here, and it's something we've talked about quite a bit called the debt ceiling, and that's something that lawmakers need to deal with likely by the end of this week, certainly into next week, to avoid a default. Janet Yellen will say that that could eviscerate the term that she's using, this economic recovery that's underway. So add the new variant, add the debt ceiling, and this thing is looking a little bit delicate at the moment, Nathan.
Yeah, it's very interesting that these hearings, first in the Senate Banking Committee and then tomorrow in the House Financial Services, are ostensibly about how the Biden administration, in terms of monetary policy, is dealing with the pandemic. Could we see some real question here from the senators on whether this new variant is going to factor into the Fed's thinking when it comes to tapering asset purchases more quickly so that maybe we can get rates moved up more quickly?
Yes, all of this is true. Powell, these will be his first public remarks, as you might imagine. It's only been since, last Friday morning that we've been talking about Omicron, the new variant here. He will say that it poses risks to both sides of the Fed's mandate. So, yes, this could impact the Fed's view on inflation, about how to address rising prices, how to deal with the employment picture. All of this is pretty complicated, and it's not getting less complicated as the president also makes the case, or tries to here, for his social spending agenda. That bill has still not come together in the Senate. It has not been voted on. And that's the piece of legislation that this administration said would help inflation, that it would actually help to bring prices down, housing, drugs, and so forth. It's not looking like it's going anywhere fast right now, and it's just another complicator as the president now today heads to Minnesota to make the case for that bill.
And one big reason for that, as we've been hearing on Capitol Hill, once again, a very familiar name that's sort of gumming the works, probably from President Biden's perspective, is Senator Manchin of West Virginia.
The gentleman from West Virginia.
Yeah.
He doesn't love the timetable here, but we've known this, right? Chuck Schumer said he would love to have this all done by the time lawmakers go home for the holiday recess, have it done in time for Christmas, and there's a nice one under the tree for Uncle Joe Biden. Joe Manchin does not like the timeline. Look, it was months ago. Back in September, he was calling for, remember, a strategic pause, I believe, is how he put it. He doesn't like this running as quickly as Senator Schumer would like it. And he's pointing to what he heard from voters when he was back home for Thanksgiving. He said everybody was talking to him about inflation, about rising prices, about expensive gas. And he does not see this as a help. He sees this as a hindrance.
Only about 30 seconds left here, Joe, but I got to ask what's going on with the discussions around state and local tax deductions, raising the cap there. We're hearing that the talks may be getting off the rails here a little bit.
Well, yes. Again, this is the conversation in the Senate. Bernie Sanders does not love an agreement that was on the table here to essentially lift the cap for a period of years. Bob Menendez, a Democrat from New Jersey, says that Sanders wants to actually use some of that money to help pay for an expansion of Medicare, stuff that was not in the first draft. So, look, this story is not going away. We'll likely have a different version of it next week. It's just a huge reminder that nothing is ready to be voted on yet. They haven't even finished writing this bill, never mind actually preparing for votes in the Senate.
Yeah, plenty to talk about, as always, on Sound On, coming up 5 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. Joe Matthew, the host, our Washington correspondent, thanks, as always, for the updates. Karen?
Well, it's 5:53 on Wall Street, Nathan. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report, brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Now let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Look Third Circuit ruled in favor of AT&T in a discrimination suit over the firing of a longtime employee who has epilepsy and breast cancer. A judge in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, took the unusual step of prohibiting striking union coal miners from picketing outside properties owned by their employer, Warrior Met Coal. Union leaders say the order is unconstitutional. The Tenth Circuit ruled an Albuquerque anti-panhandling ordinance that prohibited pedestrians from engaging with occupants of vehicles in travel lanes violates the First Amendment.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
All right, Jeff, thank you. Now another legal story we're watching brings us to the trial of Ghislaine Maxwell. Opening arguments started yesterday with Maxwell's lawyers arguing she is being scapegoated for Jeffrey Epstein's crimes. For more on the first day of the trial, Bloomberg News legal editor Anthony Lynn spoke with Carol Masser and Tim Stenovic on Bloomberg Businessweek.
From opening statements, I think they're leaning very heavily on this idea that Maxwell is being scapegoated for Epstein, and also attacking the credibility of the witnesses quite aggressively, I was surprised by, and suggesting that many of them are motivated by money. Many of them have sued the Epstein estate and have received compensation, in many cases, millions of dollars from Epstein's estate. And the defense lawyer, Bobby Sternheim, said today that a lot of these claims, she characterized it as a big jackpot of money, were not adequately vetted. She suggested that the victims had tailored their stories to maximize their compensation and suggested that, you know, Maxwell was therefore being falsely held responsible.
What about when it comes to the makeup of the jury? I did find it interesting. One juror, potential juror, who had a connection to private equity, worked at a private equity firm, juror number 87, was excused because this person was concerned that they wouldn't be impartial because of their connections to private equity.
Right, right. I mean, I think that in general, you know, I was struck by the final composition of the jury and how you know, and just in terms of descriptions that you can glean from the questionnaires, how very different the jurors are from Maxwell's world and Epstein's world. You had four people that were sort of city or government workers. You had a home health aide, a number of people that, you know, just that did not have college educations. And, you know, the defense has stressed to the jury that they're not to hold against Maxwell any biases that they may have, and they were screened for this, like against wealthy people.
And that's Bloomberg News legal editor Anthony Lynn speaking with Carol Masser and Tim Stenovic. Catch more of the conversations like this on Bloomberg Business Week's podcast and get exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal at BLawGo. And again, futures are falling. This morning, S&P futures are down 44 points. Dow futures down 420 and NASDAQ futures down 72. The DAX in Germany is down 1.3% in the 10-year Treasury of 19/32nds, yield 1.43%. And still ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, a check on the business headlines and all the news you need to start your day. This is Bloomberg.